Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 15, 2016. I am Jason Powell. Neville has suffered an injury. He fractured his left ankle during a match with Chris Jericho that occurred on during Monday night's Raw. He was going for a baseball slide. Of all things, of all the crazy things that Neville does, it was a baseball slide that did him in. He caught his left leg on the mat. It bent awkwardly, and WWE did acknowledge the injury, said he will be undergoing an MRI to determine the full extent of the injury. Unfortunately, of course, this means he is out for WrestleMania, barring something shocking appearing on the MRI. But, I mean, x-rays did determine that it was a fracture, and so it looks like Neville's going to be sidelined for some time, but no official prognosis yet as to how long he is going to be out of action. You can also read a quote from the WWE physician who examined Neville in a story we have up at ProWrestling.net. Also, Triple H required 6 staples on the side of his head. It was a cut that he suffered during Raw as well. He was working the big brawl with Roman Reigns. I didn't see exactly what caused it, but he had blood coming from the side of his head. And, it was a obviously enough that it took 6 staples, so I don't want to downplay it too much, but it didn't seem like a major thing. So just suffered a cut. I don't expect there to be like any concern about him as far as his status for WrestleMania or anything like that. TNA Impact Wrestling is back tonight. They are in Orlando at Universal Studios. Their show tonight that airs on Pop TV will be, well, they're billing it as live, but it's a same-day tape delay. It'll be taped shortly before it actually airs live, or airs live, shortly before it airs on Pop TV. They're giving us Matt Hardy against EC3 for the TNA title. Again, they are going with Jeff Hardy returning to the ring to face Eric Young, and then we're also getting a mixed tag match with Gail Kim and Drew Galloway facing Maria and Mike Bennett. I will have live coverage of Impact, as I do every week, as the show airs on Pop TV, 8 Central, 9 Eastern, and then I'm going to be back tomorrow one more time. We are going to be doing an Impact audio review in this slot. Will and Jake will be by later on in the week with Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. They've got some things going on, and I figure that with this being a big edition of Impact, we'll give you one more of the Impact Wrestling audio review, and before we kind of bring that back over to the members side of things. Speaking of the members, they are currently listening to my 59-minute Q&A audio show from yesterday. I must admit, I think it kicks off with about a 7-minute rant on the stupidity of daylight savings time. Not my thing. Can't stand it. Lots of cussing. Sorry. 45 minutes discussing last night's WWE Raw in great detail. And just know, if you enjoy our all-access audio content that you are hearing now, several hours of fresh audio content available exclusively for the members each week. We go into great detail about all of the major television shows. I also did 30-some minutes on WWE Roadblock on Saturday night. So if it's a major television show, it is covered in audio form, whether it is by me or a staff member such as Will Pruitt, Jake Barnett, Darren Gutteridge, Hayden Gleed, John Moore. Zach Zimmerman takes the NXT audio reviews on coming out of the show on Wednesday nights as well. And so just a ton of audio content available. And coming up later this week, of course, will be the .NET Weekly audio show, where we should have several notable items, I'll just say, that have yet to be reported elsewhere. My WWE Raw hit list is available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. I will be reading that to you momentarily. Just want to tell you that coming up after that, I will get into some bonus thoughts on Raw that include my take on the Wyatt family and AJ Styles. So stick around for that. If you've already read the hit list and you want to skip ahead, hey, that's cool too. You do it how you want. But of course, the goal of reading the hit list here is just to make things a bit easier for people who just don't have time to read a full-length article at work. Maybe it's just easier for you to sneak this in during your commute to and from work. Anyway, let's start with the WWE Raw hits as they appear on ProWrestling.net. Triple H against Dolph Ziggler is the first hit. Another strong Triple H match. There were plenty of questions about his performance in the Royal Rumble match, but he has silenced his critics with strong outings against Dean Ambrose and now Ziggler over the last few days. The near falls in this match were very well done, and the live crowd totally bought into the idea of Ziggler winning, as far-fetched as it may have seemed. Was I the only one who hoped that Ziggler was going to take up the authority when they implied that he could be their guy? Babyface Ziggler has been lost in mid-card purgatory. It's been a long time since we've seen heel Ziggler, and I would like to see him cast in that role again. Next hit, New Day against Rusev and Alberto Del Rio. Raw finally started out with a match rather than a 20-minute talking segment. Okay, so New Day came out and pimped Bootio cereal to a crowd that initially viewed them as heels, but they got into the match quickly. Working with League of Nations was enough to make the crowd get behind New Day, and the post-match beatdown angle succeeded in making New Day look sympathetic. Are they setting up a tag title match at WrestleMania? Maybe a handicap match, 4-on-3? Or maybe New Day bring in a fourth man for an 8-man tag match. Next hit is Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose. With the Triple H match behind Ambrose, they got back to heating up Ambrose against Lesnar heading into their match at WrestleMania. WWE wants you to think that this is going to be a hardcore war. Ambrose brought a crowbar to the ring with him, and Mick Foley presented him with his trusty barbed wire baseball bat. The match meshes with Ambrose's style, but it's a bit odd for a dominant wrestler like Lesnar. The important thing is that it seems to be working with fans. The next hit is Sami Zayn against The Miz, a much better showing for Sami Zayn than we saw during his roadblock match against Stardust. It was odd to see Miz take a shot at Kevin Owens. WWE is usually really good about showing recap from past television events, but in this case, the live crowd and a lot of us television viewers were left initially confused by Miz striking Owens from behind until the broadcast team reminded us that Owens walked out on their tag match. Owens has issues with Sami, Miz, and Neville. Unfortunately, Neville is going to miss WrestleMania with that fractured ankle, but it appears that WWE is going with the big multi-person match for the Intercontinental title rather than the Owens vs. Zayn match. Our final hit, Chris Jericho. The babyface Jericho character came off like a dated weenie at times, yet his heel persona is tremendous. Jericho's promo on the Toronto crowd at Roadblock was one of my favorites of 2016, and his mic work on Raw was also very good. Jericho also deserves credit for improvising a finish that worked perfectly for his bitter character after Neville suffered the unfortunate ankle injury. Now we get into the WWE Raw misses. We'll start with Shane McMahon, Undertaker, and Vince McMahon. For as much as creative goes above and beyond to make the Authority seem like they're one step ahead of everyone else, they sure do make Shane McMahon look stupid. This is the same guy who had leverage over his father in the form of the now-forgotten lockbox, yet still agreed to put his future on the line in a match against Undertaker in Undertaker's own match. As if that's not idiotic enough, then he goes on Raw and tells Undertaker the strategy he intends to use during the match. Of course, Shane didn't help his own cause when he misspoke during the verbal exchange, and he has never looked more ridiculous than when he threw several harmless body shots at Taker and then did the goofball Shane shuffle. What part of Undertaker's 25-year career would make anyone think that a few body shots from a middle-aged promoter's son would be so damaging that it was time for a dance number? It would be one thing if Shane were the heel, but he's a babyface who thought he wounded Taker enough to dance like a fool. Despite this flop of a segment, Taker vs. Shane continues to have more juice than any other WrestleMania match. However, they might be better off keeping these guys apart from now until WrestleMania if they want to keep it that way. Next miss, Roman Reigns. The miss is not because of what they did with Reigns on this particular night. It's simply an obvious acknowledgement of it being too little, too late. An injury angle, a few weeks away, and then the dominating beatdown of the Authority figure still wasn't enough to turn the crowd in his favor. And it's not like Pittsburgh was a hot crowd filled with fans who cheered the heels throughout the night. The adult male fans are rejecting Reigns as the top babyface. The only question now is whether Vince McMahon will concede in the form of a turn, or if he is going to continue to shove Roman down the throats of fans who have rejected him on the biggest WWE stage in history. A double turn at WrestleMania is the logical choice. Will Vince finally accept reality? Next miss, Ryback against Sin Cara. The live crowd was hot for the first two segments of the show and used this to come down. I had to laugh at Ryback being scripted to issue the WrestleMania challenge only to walk backstage. Wouldn't you want to know if the champion accepted your challenge? Next miss is Naomi and Tamina against Brie Bella and Alicia Fox. We don't know why Lana is messing with Brie Bella, other than that it's WrestleMania time and they're setting up a match. There's no history between them, and their sudden rivalry feels so random. I've never understood the decision to put Alicia Fox with the Bellas. There's never been a chemistry between them, and their tag matches are channel-changing material. Next miss, Jimmy and Jey Uso against Bo Dallas and Adam Rose. The strange build to the Usos-Dudleys match at WrestleMania continues. The Uso brothers simply won this match, and then the Dudleys, who were on commentary briefly, just headed backstage. There was zero physicality or even storyline progression, yet we found out after Raw that an Usos versus Dudleys match had been added to WrestleMania. It's good to see both teams get WrestleMania spots, but they deserve better storyline support than they've been getting since the Dudleys turned heel. Final miss, hot dogs. The idea of using the social outcasts as pitchmen is only slightly better than having Jared pimp sub sandwiches from prison. Okay, just to add to this, we get it. Burger King is pimping hot dog. My God, was that all over the show last night or what? They just went on and on with those. All right, into the WWE Raw bonus thoughts. Let's start with the Wyatt family. Where were they? I had people defending the bait and switch that WWE pulled at Roadblock when they advertised Bray Wyatt for the match with Lesnar and then had Luke Harper face him instead. Supposedly it was a handicap match. They never made contact. But people were kind of claiming that this was just WWE's way of making us want to see Lesnar get his hands on Wyatt at some point. Yeah, they can revisit that match, but it wasn't even a talking point last night. I thought they might even add Wyatt to the Lesnar and Ambrose match at WrestleMania, make it a triple threat. I'm happy they haven't, and I hope they don't. I like the Wyatts, but I hate when pro wrestling companies like tease you with a big singles showdown and then add a weaker third party who ends up losing the triple threat. Kind of like TNA did when they had the Wolves face Drew Galloway and Kurt Angle, only to add Eli Drake and Jesse Godders, making it a triple threat tag match. I don't want to see that. I mean, I am curious to see what the Wyatt family ends up doing at WrestleMania, but I just don't see any. There's not like there's any existing storyline right now. Are they just going to rehash the Royal Rumble storyline by having them all take part in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? I hope there's something bigger. I mean, I hope every year they're going to do more with the Wyatt family, and they just don't, and it's really disappointing. I also want to talk about AJ Styles. I mean, Chris Jericho's finally clicking, but have you noticed that, like, he's had to prompt both the Toronto and Pittsburgh crowds to chant for AJ? I mean, it's nicely done by Jericho. And I love AJ, and I think most of you guys love the guy too, but I think the reason is that we're familiar with his work from outside WWE. If you put yourself in the shoes of a casual WWE fan who didn't see him at TNA, or even going back to Ring of Honor, or most recently New Japan Pro Wrestling, what is there? I mean, they see him as a guy who struggled to beat The Miz in a competitive match. What was it, 12 minutes or something like that? He's taken 2 out of 3 from Chris Jericho. Yes, I mean, he's beaten guys like Curtis Axel, but the point is, he needs more wins, and he needs more decisive wins, and the type of wins where he makes a real impression. We're not seeing that from AJ Styles, and I think there's something very robotic about his mannerisms during his entrance. I kind of like the unique entrance theme, and it's a little bit of a different approach from WWE. But he just looks like a guy who's still trying to remember all of the little things they want him to do during his entrance. It feels forced. It doesn't feel organic. And that's true about a number of WWE entrances, but there's just something about Styles where it's not really clicking right now. Think about how excited everyone was when AJ debuted at the Royal Rumble. There's a real buzz there. And we already are at that point where it feels like AJ is just kind of another mid-card guy in WWE. And it's not like he's cemented in this mid-card role and he can't climb the ladder. I mean, he did come in at the Royal Rumble right before WrestleMania. And so it's like, yeah, it's good that he has a spot on the card. But I do feel like he's lost a lot of momentum since that Royal Rumble debut. What are they going to do with him afterward? I really hope they have a plan in place for AJ Styles coming out of WrestleMania once his program with Jericho is likely over. They need to get him on the fast track to something bigger rather than just kind of making him at the house show I saw an opening match guy. Not that he's being cast as, you know, that way. I mean, opening match on a house show doesn't mean what it once did. They have title matches in that slot. But the point is, I mean, he just kind of feels like a mid-card guy right now. And I think he is someone that, had he come in at a different time, not WrestleMania season, they easily could have moved him into a major role in the company, and instead he's just kind of taking this middle of the card role with Chris Jericho. And I like their feud, but I want to know what's next, and I kind of fear it's not going to be as hot as we would like it to be. Hey, I'm going to be by tomorrow again with that TNA Impact Wrestling audio review, and then Jake and Will, as I mentioned, will be by later on in the week with the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. You can also hear me later on today on the PW Torch Livecast at 4 Central, 5 Eastern. As always, your phone calls are welcome, pwtorchlivecast.com. And then also keep an eye out for my appearance on the Professional Wrestling Podcast, The Pencil. pencilpodcast.com. It should be available later on today. I may link, I'm sure I'll run something on Twitter about it later tonight, and certainly on the main page on Wednesday. And then, if all goes according to plan, I will also be joining Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com. Brian was nice enough to join me for .NET Weekly last week when we talked about his big interview with Vince McMahon as he took us behind the scenes of that and the WrestleMania 33 press conference in Orlando. And so I'll be returning the favor by appearing on Brian's podcast at BetweenTheRopes.com. That one should be available Wednesday night, Thursday. I don't know exactly when Brian is releasing it, but we're getting together tomorrow on Wednesday to record that. So again, I'll have the details available on the main page and on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net. Hey, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that takes such reviews. You are helping spread the word about this podcast when you do so. And for that matter, again, if you can continue to retweet when I send out the link to this daily podcast. I really appreciate that. Thank you to everyone who has taken the time to do any of those things. Any help you can give us in spreading the word about this is really appreciated. Thank you very much for listening today. I'll be back tomorrow with that Impact Wrestling audio review. Until then, take care.